With Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Nikki Ouellette. About 6 months ago, the federal government officially recognized the Little Shell Tribe of Chippewa Indians as a sovereign nation. It was national news then, but what does it mean now for members and descendants of Little Shell? Nine students from the University of Montana School of Journalism spent a semester reporting on the impact of recognition on what has long been considered Montana's landless tribe. This story is part of a student-produced series, Project Little Shell.
For the University of Montana School of Journalism, I'm Evan Bartle. Last year, the federal government recognized a new tribe in Montana, the Little Shell Tribe of Chippewa. As the tribe determines what federal aid will mean for its members, many people are learning its history for the first time. The Little Shell Tribe's membership comes from the Chippewa and Métis cultures. The two groups have been linked since the 1600s. Métis people are descended from French trappers and Chippewa Cree women who married during the Canadian fur trade. Their children faced rejection from all sides, as tribal elder Al Wiseman described during an interview at his home in Choteau.
Out of this intermarriage, the ones that suffered was the children. They suffered. The full-blooded Indian, he didn't like these little kids because they were mixed blood. The Frenchman, the true Frenchman, he didn't care much for these little mixed blood kids because they weren't true French. So where did that leave a little boy, a little girl? It left you in between.
The Métis spread out across much of North America, including clusters around the Great Lakes. They traveled and intermarried with other tribes, and with those tribes, they faced the pressure of American expansion. As Métis and Chippewa groups were forced west, they met groups of related people already living on the plains, indicating that Chippewa presence in Montana predates statehood. One Little Shell descendant who has spent years tracking tribal movements is Dwayne Reed, an archaeologist and the tribe's historic preservation officer. He describes how outside pressures forced the Little Shell to stop moving.
You got to think of a group of people that was connected across a vast area that were living and trading and marrying and dynamic, you know, this kind of... how can I explain it? What's that game that we play when we're younger? Musical chairs. You know, so this culture, this world that's moving, that's people are marrying, visiting, you know, living their lives, and then all of a sudden there's this outside force that says, everyone now stop.
The 1885 Riel Rebellion, a Métis uprising in Saskatchewan, forced many Native peoples to flee south. Shortly afterwards, the U.S. negotiated what it hoped would be its last treaty with the Chippewa, the Macumber Agreement of 1892. The agreement created North Dakota's Turtle Mountain Reservation. Government negotiators wanted to keep it as small as possible, so tribal membership rolls were cut down. This, coupled with the low price the government offered for the land, alienated a lot of chiefs, including Chief Little Shell III. He broke off negotiations in protest of the terms of the treaty. The treaty was ratified regardless, and many unrecognized Indians were left with no chance for federal aid. Over time, these people spread out, surviving as agricultural and urban laborers. Poverty was almost universal, and education was scarce. Many people looked down on them.
There'll be stories where people called us garbage can Indians, because supposedly we lived next to the garbage yards and the slaughterhouses. But my grandma, she said, no, it wasn't like that. We're already there. So it was more like they're throwing their garbage on us.
Cultural identity remained strong among the Little Shell. They gathered in family groups and enjoyed traditional fiddle music. They also still hoped to see recognition. As the years went by, the tribe and its advocates began to petition the government. One of the leaders of the push in recent years was John Gilbert. He's a former chairman and spoke at his home in Winston about the experience.
They took me in this back room for a little meeting. It was a storage room was what it was. And they showed me all these piles and stacks and... on shelving, that's your history right there. And there was rows and rows of it, 10 foot high. 100 years of paperwork all stacked in this room about the Little Shell trying to get federal recognition. I was stunned. That much paperwork and we haven't got anywhere, you know.
The tribes tried for recognition through legislative means, court arguments, and one-on-one work swaying legislators. Changes in leadership at the Department of the Interior or the Bureau of Indian Affairs stalled some of that work. Montana state government recognized the tribe in 2000, and a state Supreme Court decision affirmed the tribe's case. In 2019, Montana's representatives attached a rider to a defense bill that granted the tribe recognition. Recognition could mean education and health care benefits. It doesn't guarantee land, but can allow for the council to put land in trust under the Little Shell name. For now, the tribe waits to see what form the aid will take. For the University of Montana School of Journalism, I'm Evan Bartle.
This story is part of the Native News Honors Project at the University of Montana School of Journalism. It's funded in part by the Greater Montana Foundation.